This is HPR episode 1952 entitled, Time Now Ladies and Gents, and is part of the series, Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Ken Fallon, and is about 31 minutes long. The summary is, how to get the total duration of a lot of media files.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I've been just listening to HPR 1943, the HPR Audiobook Club 11.3, where our very own David Collins Rivera, aka Lost in Bronx, was interviewed about his audiobook. A very, very riveting episode, and I had to pause it a few times to make a few notes myself. But one of the comments that got me to do this show was the comment that Pokey made, was there a way to get the duration for all the media in a directory? For example, if they download one file, then to be able to get the duration of that file is relatively easy, but to be able to get the duration of all the episodes in a audiobook, especially if it's serialized. Well, this is something I tend to do quite a lot, given the nature of my professional and private life here on HPR. So there's three ways that springs to mind immediately about that to do it. One is our custom tool here on Hacker Public Radio that we use called Fixed Tags, which gives you the length in ISO 8601 human readable format. And I'll make comments about that as we go along. So that's basically two digits for the hour, two digits for the minute, two digits for the second. That's my personal favorite format for use in the world, and also that it would be UTC. Well, one thing Dave added for me was that he also converts that to seconds. Now, I'm going to be rather unfair here on Dave, because his application does an awful lot more than just read that out, but it is such a handy tool that I use that quite a lot myself, so much so that I've written a blog post about that very same thing. So if you look in the show notes, I've done extensive show notes in this, which I did in Markdown, everybody, and converted to HTML. The syntax is relatively simple. You just do fix underscore tags space, and the file I'm looking at is intro.flac. So what I'm going to be doing is I'll do some examples with the intro.flac file, and then four other flac files that we keep in the processing directory, the intro, the outro, the advert, the promo for an honest host, and the promo for archive.org. So those four, just to give you a comparison. So the output of filter tags gives you things like album, artist, genre, length, and this length is the one that we're interested in. And Dave has a colon to separate the field names from the values, and then he has an ISO date. In this case, it's 00:00:39 space open bracket 39 space SEC close bracket. Now we've got a problem here, because I want to filter out the 39 seconds from the bit between the bracket, and I need to get rid of the sec, the string space SEC. And how I'm going to do that is fixed tags *flac, and then I'm going to pipe it into awk. And awk is this really cool awk. I would love people to do some shows on it, but it's got this really cool feature, two of which I'm using here, and that is to allow two different delimiters. And you can specify a delimiter with the capital F sign. So if you've got a comma separated file, x.txt for instance, you can go awk space F single quote, comma single quote, and then print blah. In this case, I'm going to use the open and close brackets as the delimiters, and I'm going to print $2. But awk also allows you to do filtering. So I'm using the filter to grep, you know, air quotes here, grep for the word length. So the entire command is awk dash capital F, single quote, \\, open parentheses, and that's to escape the parentheses. The pipe, to show that there's going to be two delimiters, \\, close parentheses, close single quote, space, open single quote. And this is the bit now where we are going to filter on the length, \\length, \ space, open curly bracket, print, space, $2, close curly brackets, close single quote. That's going to print the length, and it'll filter just the length, and in that particular line, it'll only print off the thing that is between open and close brace. In this case, it'll return 39 space SEC. So I'm just going to pipe that into sed space single quote S \\ space SEC \\ G single quote. And what that does is it will search for anything that's piped into it, and if it sees the string space SEC, it'll replace it with basically nothing. So what it gives me if I run that command for those four files is a list: 39 new line, 60 new line, 17 new line, and 11. That's all very well, but it's not really very handy for me. So what I want to actually use is the bc command. I could have actually piped those into variables and say let count equals 39, and then add on the next iteration, add 60 to 39, and then add 17 to the sum and add 11 to the sum of those. But BC is a command that allows you to do mathematics here. And I think Charles and LJ covered this before as well. So more episodes on that would be awesome. What I want to do is pipe that into BC. And the normal way you can add two numbers, say one plus one, you would type echo space 1 + 1, and then the pipe character and BC, and BC would return 2 as a result. So the first thing I want to do is convert these lines one on top of the other onto one single line. And the best way I found to do that was to use command substitution. Thank you, Dave Morris, who just replied to an email. And he covered that in the show 1903, which is basically, there's two ways to do it. There's backticks, but I prefer to use the dollar open braces and close brace way of doing it, because you can do those nested for a start, and you can also, anything that goes inside of there, you can put your quotes and stuff. So if you've got double quotes on the outside, you can continue to add quotes on the inside. So it's absolutely awesome. So the entire command I had before, the fixed x yada 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 up to the end of sed, I just enclose all of that in a dollar bracket, and in front of it I echo it out. So that's what it says, whatever is output from this command, you just echo it out, and that gets rid of the new lines. A really neat way of doing that. And then I pipe the output of that again into sed, and I quote s \\ space \\ plus \\ g close quote, and that replaces any space with the literal character plus. Normally when you see a plus in these sort of things, it means something else, but in this case I'm just having that. And then I wrap all of that again in another dollar brace command substitution thing, and I echo that again into the BC command. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm just piping the remainder of that into the BC command, so there's no more. So the number I get is 127. Now, that's the number of seconds. And what I actually want to do that is make that human readable, because it's nice to have it in seconds for calculation, but I actually want to be able to, you know, Pokey wants to be able to look at this and see how long the show is, and it's a lot easier to say it's 2 hours, 43 minutes, 8 seconds, rather than give a big number of seconds. So there's several ways of doing this, and the best way I found, I actually wrote a Perl program myself, but I found that the date command that comes with bash is more than capable of doing the majority of calculations of this type. You can use the dash D argument, which displays time string defined by the string. So you push dash D and you post last Tuesday, or dash D and now you associate it with 4 days. It's very intelligent. Instead of what it normally does is it, you know, if you type date, it'll give you whatever it is now. But if you do a dash D followed by the at sign, then it will convert it into the number of seconds since the epoch, which, as everybody knows, was the 1st of 1970 in UTC. And it'll convert that to a date. So if you do that conversion, don't forget to use the dash U, which is the universal coordinated time, because it's actually going to add the numbers. If you don't put the dash U in there, it'll not add the it'll add your offset. So I'm plus one at the moment, and it will add an extra hour to my calculation, which is something I want. And with date, you have a wide array of options that you can specify with the percent command. So in this case, I'm going to be using percent capital T, which formats it to a ISO 8601 time format, which is the equivalent of percent H for hours, colon, percent M for minutes, colon, percent capital S for seconds. All of those are in capitals. And if you do a mandate, if you do a mandate, you can get all of this. It's very short. Man page and perfectly readable. So in the following command, I do put a forward slash in front of the date command, and that's because I've aliased the command date to be specific to my system. I have it when I do date, I've formatted the way I like it. I have it formatted the way that I like it. So the entire command is forward slash date to unalias it and use the default date, space dash U for universal time, D for to use date from a argument rather than use the system date as in now, the at sign to tell you that there's going to be a number provided, which is going to be the number of seconds since 1970, 1st of January 1970. And of course in there, I'm just putting in, copying and pasting that entire string, the echo, dollar thingy, fixed brackets all the way over to BC, where I get that number. I close that again, space plus and percent T. This will be in the show notes. And basically what that does is it converts 127 seconds into 2 minutes and 7 seconds. No surprise there. So as a little bit of a check, what I did was I ran the time command, which I don't work date and time. I know. But the time command is actually something that you can put in front of any other command, and it will give you the real, the user, and the system time. It just gives you an idea of what's going on. You got to be careful using it, because if you're using a comparison for accessing files, for instance, the first time you run it, the file will be read into memory and, you know, kept in memory if you've got a lot of cache memory. Linux will do this by default, so that the second time you run it, it'll look a lot faster. And if you're comparing it against others, so you got to just keep that in mind, and you might need to offload that. So the exact same command again that I did before, I just put date time in front of the slash date part, and instead of fixed tags asterisk flac, I have fixed tags asterisk mp3 and asterisk .org. And that returned 3 hours, 9 minutes, and 49 seconds of files that are waiting in the queue to be read. And that actually took 2.9 seconds real to basically process, about 3 seconds to run. Now, so that's option number one. Let's move on to option number two. And this is a command that I use, two of these commands I use every single day, hundreds of times a day. Probably the order of the commands that I use will be grep, then media info, and then XML starlet, and then quite often I use media info as well. It is a utility that's available for basically all operating systems, and they even supply it as a library, and you can install it by it's in all the repos. And if you do that on the media info flac, what it does is give you a general section and an audio section that's based on the fact that the mp3 file is a MPEG standard, and it's got different streams inside. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that's covered before, maybe I'll cover it again. So the So just as a comparison, it gives you the complete file name. The format is FLAC. It's the format info is free lossless audio codec. The file size, it gives the duration, which is 39S space 50 MS. So 39 seconds, 50 milliseconds. And it's variable bitrate of 701. And the album, Osaka Public Radio, track name, genre. Then another thing it does is it gives you the audio track. So this is the general track and then the audio track. And you might think that's a bit odd. But what you can have in some files, especially in an MPEG file, in a video file, you might have the audio track is shorter than the overall length of the full track. So there's an introduction and you don't have an audio track. So the audio track only starts, 2 minutes into the movie when all the studio flitzing things are on and gone. So you wouldn't normally see that, but it is something that is possible to happen. So we've got a few issues here with this standard duration. And the first one is the fact that it's human readable, insofar as it says 39S and 50 MS, and that can go up to hours, and I have no idea, it might go to days or whatever, so we have no way of actually knowing what's going to happen there, and then it's going to be a nightmare to sort of deal with that. It's a lot easier to do calculations, if you're just dealing with seconds. The other issue with that is that we've got the same field name described in the general and audio sections. So for a given file there will be two entries where there's a duration. So one way to fix the first issue, to get rid of the human readable and give us seconds at least, it gives you milliseconds, you can use the --full option. So media info space --full space intro.flac, and there it gives you so much information there. I just grepped in the example in the show notes on the duration, and it gives something like 10 or so different durations. All go space as a colon as a separator, and then the first option is 39050, then the second is 39S space 50S, that's repeated three times, and then we've finally got the ISO 8601 format 00:00:39.050 milliseconds. And then that's repeated twice because obviously you have the general section and you've got the audio section. So that's actually a bit of a pain. So although there are variety of odd, it's ISO 8601 in this case, it's useful for displaying it to humans as it's less disambiguous. It's not very nice for us because we want to do calculations, as I explained before. And the duplicate things are a little bit of a concern as well, because what you could do, what you might be tempted to do there is, okay, it's okay for one file, you sort it and you do a unique. So either sort space -u or sort pipe unique. And that will get rid of the duplicates, and you've only got one, and then you can eliminate the S and the MS and the colon, and then you're just left with the single one that has got seconds on it. That's fine, but what happens if you're dealing with all files, like, I don't know, files that are deliberately supposed to be exactly an hour on the button, you've got two files exactly the same size, deliberately padded to be that size, then when you do a sort and unique them, you've suddenly an hour short because you haven't taken those ones into account. So to get around this, Media Info has got the --output equals XML, where the O in output is capitalized and the XML is also in capitals. And what that does is it gives you it as an element tree, so as an XML file. Ideally, what I would have liked there was that the duration would also have an element saying duration milliseconds, duration humor, format one, duration format two, format equals one, format equals two, or something like that, or that there was at least an ID on it that you could count on. But that is sadly not the case. So now we have an XML file, and what I'm doing with that is I pipe it into my old trusty friend XML Starlet, which is something, yes, I need to do some shows on that because it's a brilliant, brilliant tool for working with XML files. And what it does is I'm going to use it basically as a way of grepping XML files, and you should never grep XML files. Every time you grep an XML file, a cute furry kitten dies. So bear that in mind. A colleague of mine told me that one day. I cracked up. But it's quite true, because XML is completely independent. You could have 15 carriage returns and spaces, and you get them squashed up or mixed around, or the elements and the attributes could be all over the shop. So it's not very wise to, you basically can't trust grepping an XML file unless you want to see, does it occur in that file, which I do from time to time. But XML Starlet is quite a nice tool. I'm just going to go briefly into what the options are. XML Starlet space select, that turns it into selection mode. So I'm looking for a value. Am I going to ask it for a value based on an XPath expression? An XPath expression, if you're similar to this, CD dot, CD dot dot, CD backslash, that sort of thing, it allows you to do that with an XML file. So the first one is a dash T, which from my memory means use text space dash T lowercase. So the first was a uppercase, lowercase, that says I'm going to build a template, and the template, you always have a template, and you need to find me this and give me that. So the find me this part is the dash M match, and then basically it's media info slash file slash track square bracket attribute the at sign type equals audio close square bracket forward slash duration open square bracket the number one close square bracket single quote. So what that does is, if you look at the DOM, the object model of that file, you'll see that it starts with XML media info. So it tells you what it is, then there's a file, this particular file happens to be this, and then we're looking at a particular track, and this, in the square brackets, we're asking for the track of type audio as opposed to the track of type general, which was up earlier. And then of that, I want the duration, and just give me the first duration. So it treats it like an array. And then we do a space dash V and the dot, which just shows me, yes, whatever that value is, show it. The dash N shows a new line, and the dash will pipe it to standard output. I don't actually need the dash N there, but I put it in, not force a habit. That's wonderful, except for the fact that media info gives me things in milliseconds. The reason it does that is because it's a professional level tool, I guess, and there are 25 frames in a second, so we need to be able to break it down to that. There can even be higher, but like the 24 frames per second. So you need that's amount of granularity on your frame rates. So to get rid of that, a cool trick I just found on DuckDuckGo recently was to cut off the last three characters of the file, of that output, which in this case I know will always be the millisecond component, because I'm not interested in that. And the command for that is sed single quote s, so search for forward slash dot, so any character, and then keep going until and you kind of need to read this back to front, so it's escaped curly bracket, so slash curly bracket 3 slash curly bracket, and then the dollar, so that says come back, find me anything, go to the end, and then come back three characters, and slash slash means replace it with whatever's between the slashes, which is nothing, and then it replaces that. And I of course get 39, 60, 17, and 11, and I do exactly the same thing again, replacing the spaces with the plus, and I get 2 minutes and 7 seconds again. And when I run that against the list of podcasts that I have, I get 3 hours, 9 seconds, and 49 seconds as a total, which is exactly the same as the one we got with fixed tax earlier. The difference with this, of course, is that it is done in 0.6 of a second, as opposed to the 2-3 seconds that fixed tags took. Dave, of course, is now yelling at the microphone. And again, media info and XML Starlet are designed for this sort of stuff, so they may be faster for that reason. I'm not 100% sure, and I might be just doing this incorrectly. I want to give you one more option, because fixed tags is definitely not going to be installed on your system unless you happen to be working for HPR, and it's quite a few difficult to install libraries, I think, would be a safe way of putting it. And I think Dave would be in agreement with me on that one. FFmpeg, Media Info and XML Starlet are probably in your repositories, but you may not have them installed on your system. Quite a lot of systems do come, though, with FFmpeg installed. And one of the tools as part of that is a tool called FFprobe, which, I, far as I can tell, it's the same actual binary that's run. And you can run that, and if you run ffprobe space dash I to say this is the input file intro.flac in our case, it'll print off a nice detailed list, a lot of just information about the program itself, and then at the bottom it'll give you some information about the track. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. It happens to send that to standard error. FFmpeg and ffprobe have weird ways of, or have non-standard ways of dealing with standard errors, and also the way they initiate processes. You need to be careful to use an if loop instead of a if loop instead of a while loop, because they will run it once in a while loop and then stop due to the way that the open sessions. I've got caught with that a few times. Just it's something to keep in mind. But anyway, I send a quick way to send a standard error to standard input is to use the after the input.flag ff-i intro.flag space 2 greater than ampersand 1. So that will, anything going to 2, which is standard error, will be redirected to standard output. And then I can grep for the word duration. And that gives me duration colon space 00:00:39.05, comma start colon lots and lots and bitrate 7 blah 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 blah. So I get some information there. So what we could do in this case is the problem is here we've got a human readable date format, which I said earlier. It's a little bit more difficult to process it, because I mean, once it goes to 39, once it goes to 59, then suddenly a digit starts appearing in 1-1, as opposed to, and the, you know, the minute section goes to 0-0, and the hour section has been incremented by 1. That's a little bit more difficult to deal with. So luckily, though, you can deal with it using the date command, which was something that I rather enjoyed. And again, I'm using the /date. To unalias, you won't need to do that probably, the -u to be UTC, and the -d, and in this case I'm putting in, so the number that I got was 00:00:39, yeah, so this time I'm putting in date -ud space 1970-01-01t 00:00:39.05 space plus %s, and the %s will format it, percent lowercase s will format it to seconds. So what that does is it counts the number of seconds since epoch, and we're not using now, we're using that particular date, which is why I've had to put in 1970-01-01t at the beginning, was to give me the number of seconds that would have passed since the 1st of January, since 1970, which is when the epoch started. Okay, so that gives us a number. Now, let's see if we can do that for this intro.flac, which of course we can. We put the date space -u 1970-01-t, and then we use our command substitution percent open square brackets ffprobe dash I flac redirect standard output to just grep for d. Then we print the second field, which gives us a nice clean one, except there's a comma tagged on to the end, and we use sed s /comma /g to get rid of that. We close the command substitution and we do plus %s, and we get a 39. Problem is, unlike the other ones, you can't just replace intro.flac with asterisk.mp3 or asterisk.flac. The only way you can get around that is to put it into a loop, and as I said, a while loop won't work. without doing some weird redirections. So I do a for I in asterisk flac do, and then I replace intro.flac with $i, and at the end I do a done. So that gives me a new line, 39, 60, 17, and 11, exactly what we had before. And I won't bore you with the details of how we escaped all that again, and we presented an ISO 8601 format, and we get 0.0207. Now this time when we run it, it takes 4 seconds, 4.2 seconds basically to run, as opposed to fixed tags, which was 3 seconds, and media info, which was 0.6 seconds. But again, the conclusions about this is really all kind of loosely based on, you know, what you have installed. So, you know, the best tool is the tool that you have. And some people might argue that, okay, because we're short of shows again, because Ahuka and John Culp are busy with life, as they have, not that I'm blaming them for that, far from it. They have, as we pointed out later during the year last year, they have been carrying quite a lot of the burden of HPR. So in the last few weeks, we've been getting quite a few times where our 7-day warning has come up. That's something I was so happy not to see. And unfortunately, now this turns me into what they call here in the Netherlands a stress kip, which is a stressed out chicken. So if you could all kindly do some shows, that would be fantastic. So that's it. Links are in the show notes. I did it using John Culp's suggestion of retext markdown, which is actually very good at, I find, focusing your mind. You don't get too involved in the formatting, and then you can go back and tidy it all up again. Well, with that, I'll call it a halt. And as you can see, even the tiniest little thing can trigger geeks and, or what am I, nerds, I suppose, to do a long and possibly monumentally boring show. But there you go. If you're ever wanting to convert dates, this is date command is absolutely very useful and very fast, actually, for doing quite a lot of this stuff. All right, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.